joined us before, and with the changing situation with ISIS and Turkey and peace in the Middle East and all that sort of stuff, I thought, you know what, we should really reach out to him and have him back on again. His name is Dr. Babuna, and he's been a speaker at, oh my gosh, U.S. Congress, U.S. Senate, the Italian Senate, U.N. Events, and thousands of speaking engagements, universities, all that sort of stuff. And he's been speaking a lot lately on peace. What is it going to take to create peace? And, Doctor, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you again. How are you?
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. Oh, I'm good. Now, since the last time you were here, when you were on the show before, we didn't have an organization that the world knew about called ISIS. We knew the Middle East was in kind of a little tailspin, but all of a sudden these people show up. Before we get too deep into this, from your perspective, how has ISIS changed the entire region?
Well, a lot, actually. You know, there's internal conflicts and wars, bloodshed, terrorism, radicalism spreading in the entire Middle East, and from there, to the world, actually. And it's getting worse. And, you know, since the United States has been in Iraq and Afghanistan, and trillions of dollars were spent, millions of people were killed. There are casualties from both sides. United States suffers from that. And Iraq suffered from that. Afghanistan suffered from that. Taliban controls Afghanistan. Now, ISIS is spreading everywhere.
Well, it is, including it's getting closer and closer to Turkey. And the crazy thing about the spread of ISIS is it's starting to get almost like little cancer cells in other countries. You know, we thought it was in one area, and then all of a sudden we're starting to see, you know, sympathizers in other areas. What's the Turkish position? Because Turkey, I believe, is a key player in this. And, you know, they recently had a new election that had a shift in politics. There's been a lot of public demonstrations and protests. You're actually in Turkey right now. What's the Turkish response?
Yes, that's a good question, actually. As you know, Turkish parliament ratified the Syria-Iraq motion in October 2nd. So, but this is different than the previous ones because this is only to protect Turkey for national security, not to be involved, to be a side in this war. Because Turkey is also in the trouble with the PKK, which is a Marxist-Leninist terror organization. And part of YPD is also part of PKK. So Turkey doesn't want to be a side in this war. And we don't think that bombing would be a solution to stop this war. It has to be an ideological. As you stated, ISIS like being analogized to be a cancer, it is correct because there is an ideology of the bigotry which pervades the entire Islamic world that are in Sunni sects, that are fabricated hadiths. And these people of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, or Boko Haram, they use these fabricated hadiths, which is accepted by the Saudi Arabia, for example, by the Iranians, by Shiites, and Sunni sects, all of them, and they just put this into the practice. So what needs to be done is to replace their false beliefs, these fabricated hadiths, with the true Islam from the Quran, because in Quran there is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, justice, and you cannot hate Christians, you cannot hate Jews, you cannot touch even the unbelievers, they are under protection of the Muslims. And there is complete freedom. Allah says there is no compulsion in religion. That means you cannot force anybody. But if you look at the ISIS or that kind of mentalities we see, they kill other people because they don't like their, for example, answers about the religious obligations of the prayer, for example. And there are differences between the sects, and they use these fabricated hadiths of killing, to kill other people. So Muslims are killing Muslims. And so what needs to be done is, instead of declaring war and responding violence with violence, with bombardments, ideological and intellectual struggle needs to be done to correct their false ideas with true ideas, more powerful evidences from the Quran. This is what needs to be done. Otherwise, it will get worse. It has been getting worse. And we had this experience. United States has had this experience since a long time. And bombings is not a solution because through bombings, as you know, many civilians are being killed. And many children, sure, women, elderly people, and innocent people are being killed. Even though there are murderers, for example, militants being killed, you have to put them first on the trial. And then you can put them in jail and try to treat these people. But overall solution, the fundamental solution has to be ideological. And Mr. Obama actually admitted that also in his one of his speeches. He stated that there has to be an ideological solution to that. But of course, they don't know how to handle this. But we know to handle that as Muslims, and we do this actually. Mr. Adnan Oktar from Turkey, with his books and websites. But media support from United States, Europe, we need that media support and support of our Western alliance to do this ideological struggle more effective and more rapid.
Yeah, there's two things that I kind of want to bring up there. The first one is Obama bringing up that it's an ideological struggle, even though he fails to engage in that ideological struggle. So that's kind of, you know, him just kind of pacifying people. But the other side of this is there time to engage in an ideological struggle? Because ideologies take time to grow and mature, especially when you're working with a population base that already has a formed opinion on a position. So let's say it was a bunch of just blank minds, like non-believers in anything. Well, then the ideological struggle would be fairly easy. I mean, you'd still have to combat the position of zero. But what we're seeing is the exact opposite. We're seeing the bad guys in this situation have a deeply rooted ideology. So now it takes time to go from your position of peaceful Islam back to a place where you get this radicalized Islam. That takes time. And with the rapid growth rate of ISIS, do you think there's time?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example. For instance, United States went into Iraq intervention during the Saddam's time, and also in Afghanistan. You spent people say $4.7 trillion in both wars. So instead of $4.7 trillion doing these bombardments, which made things a lot worse, and millions of people were killed, of course, civilians, innocent people. And instead of that, if you publish books and do a media, use the media for the education, with $4.7 trillion, there would be no radicalism. And, you know, for example, you were in Afghanistan, but Taliban controls the Afghanistan right now. So the war has failed. Military interventions always has to be failed. So you cannot stop violence with violence. What I mean by the intellectual struggle is, for example, you have the media. United States has the media power. CNN, for example, or NBC, or other TV channels from Europe and United States, if they would do a campaign for 1 week with true beliefs from the Quran to educate these people, we could reach entire area, everybody, and change their mentality very rapidly, because they come up with fabricated hadiths. Let me give you an example. According to these Sunni sects, Hanafi, Hanbali...
Hold on. Yeah. 1 second. We're up against a commercial break. You can give me an example in about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. All right, Doctor, we are back. So if you could please continue with that example you were going to give us about how we can change the hearts and minds of the people in the region before it's too late.
Yes, the audience can just to understand the audience how terrible thing is bigotry. I'll give you some solid evidences from the Sunni sects that are fabricated hadith stating that if you shave, you are sentenced to death. If you don't pray, you are sentenced to death. These are from the most respectable hadith books and fabricated hadiths. But in the Quran, God says there is no compulsion in religion. But these people, ISIS or other terrorist organizations, they execute the people just because they shave, or just because they don't pray, or they don't like the answers they give when they question them. And we see that regularly also in Saudi Arabia. After Jummah prayer, the prayers after the Jummah time, they regularly execute people with swords there, cut their head, beheadings. We see beheadings since years, many hundreds of people in Iran, the same thing. So it is not an idea which is peculiar to ISIS, this ideology, but it is prevailing in the entire Islamic world. ISIS is a little so-called more brave to put these ideas into practice. So the disease can only be corrected or treated medically and by intellectual education, not through wars or military intervention bombardments. And we have seen this. We have the history. They always have failed. For example, United States was in Vietnam as an anti-communist and ideological struggle in a war. And you did the bombardments, but you failed. And you lost many of your people. And we have the same thing. Did you know, for example, that you have 84 minutes in the United States, one soldier is attempting suicide and killing themselves, ex-soldiers from Iraq, for example, or Afghanistan. So everybody suffers from wars. Why not to stop the wars? And United States, one more criticism, actually. United States policy to support YPD in Kobani is definitely wrong, because YPD is part of PKK terrorist organization. PKK killed more than 40,000 innocent people in Turkey. It's a Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist terror organization, and YPD is part of that. So to support a terrorist organization, to support another kind of terror, ISIS, is not a treatable strategy. This is a wrong strategy. Instead of that, we should stop the war. And with the support of our natural ally, United States, we need to do an intellectual struggle. We have the books, we have the websites, we have the powerful evidences to change the mentality of these people. CNN needs to support that. The American media, European media needs to support that. Otherwise, things will get worse. And there is no way to stop this with the bombardments. And through bombardments, only civilians, innocent people are being killed.
Well, you know, most people are against the use of force as we've seen it. Absolutely. I mean, the majority of Americans are against it. The majority of people in Turkey are against it. The majority of people in Syria are obviously against it. But yet here we are, and we have this situation where, you know, in Turkey, for example, like you were referring to, they're kind of in bed with PKK. The people are upset with the direction Turkey's going. Turkey's refusing to help support the Kurds, even though the Kurds are attempting to try to stop the growth of ISIS. So all of the nations that are saying, hey, we want peace, are doing anything but bringing peace. When do we start getting the nations out of it? Because when we look at Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Libya, the United States, the UK, we should flush them all down the toilet, because they're all just killing the people. So when do we see a real revolution of peace?
Well, through religious morality, good morality prevailing the world, and which is actually from Bible, from Torah and the Quran, these are the source of the revelations. There is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, and justice. But bigotry is a terrible thing, and radicalism is founded upon this bigotry. But I want to correct one thing, actually. Turks are definitely helping our Kurdish brothers and sisters. We are one single part, Turkey, with the Kurdish and the other, all the other ethnic groups. In fact, 200 refugees came from Kobani. They sought refuge in Turkey. And 2 million Syrian refugees are living in Turkey right now. And so we embrace these, our brothers and sisters from coming from this area. So it is not a Kurdish issue. It is an ideological war, actually. One side, PKK and YPD, which is Marxist-Leninist terrorist organization. On the other side, ISIS, which of course kills people based on this bigotry and the fabricated hadith, false beliefs they have. So what needs to be done is ideological struggle against PKK, anti-communist, anti-Darwinist, anti-materialist propaganda, ideological struggle. And to stop the other kind of terrorism, which is founded with bigotry, is to do this with intellectual struggle again from the Quran. But alliance is needed. Alliance of the Christians, Jews, and Muslims. And we can live in the, we have to be able to live in the peace. Why not people don't think about peace? It is so easy. Always, as a solution, the first thing comes through the mind of people, whether United States government or European governments or any other country, bombardments and using the weapons, whether it's a land for using land forces or airstrikes. Instead of that, we should think about, ideologically, we can solve this problem and stop the war completely. There is conflict between the Palestine and Israel, for example. How the solution to this problem is also ideological, because in Islam there is no there is nothing against Jews living in the Israel, and we there are four verses from the Quran, and we spread these ideas through the Muslim population, and we can live with the Jews, Christians, Muslims, even unbelievers in Israel in peace. Or we can stop these sectarian wars in the Muslim countries. There are sectarian wars among, as you know, among Sunnis and Shiites. Muslims are killing Muslims. So the only solution is to convince the people that this is against Islam. In Islam, there is no such thing. And educate these people. I'm not talking about university education, of course, because many of the, as you know, the commanders of ISIS or Al-Qaeda are university graduates from the Western countries. They have the PhDs, some of them doctorate degrees. So it's not a university education. An education with the real religion, revelation, which is from the Quran. Otherwise, things are getting worse, and everybody suffers from that. United States suffers from that also. I gave you an example, 84 minutes. And United States soldier is killing themselves. This is terrible. You're losing one generation. You lost one generation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some of them became narcotic addicts. And I work in New York University in the Veteran Administration Hospital. And in that time, in the 1990s, I had many patients from the Vietnam. I know United States lost a complete generation in the Vietnam. They all had physical problems, but they had psychiatric problems. They were narcotic addicts, and they were in depression. Some of them killed themselves. This is terrible. I mean, why? Americans are beautiful people. They are very happy people. Why are you losing the generation in wars instead of, or spending so much money and going into the economic crisis and killing innocent people? This is also not acceptable. Instead of that, intellectual struggle is needed, and we know how to do that. There are Muslims who can do this. United States administration needs to support these people who can handle this.
And you know, there's two aspects to this. Again, first, is there an ideology that needs to change? The answer is absolutely yes. Should the Western nations pull back support and stop fighting all these ridiculous wars? The answer is absolutely yes. Now, with that in place, though, we need to have a little dose of reality on the Turkish side of things. When you have the Kurds, because right now, I mean, New York Times is reporting right now that you have Turkey offering to take in Kurdish refugees, but that's just part of the problem, because at the same time, they're refusing to arm those Kurds that are trying to push back ISIS. So in the fight for peace, you have to realize that you still have to fight the physical threat too. So I'm not saying that the U.S. gets involved or the U.K. gets involved, but I'm talking about, you know, when they're literally on your door. If somebody showed up at your clinic and they were about to shoot you, you shoot them back and then ideologically explain to other people who might come later why it's a bad idea to shoot you. But you still have to stop the guy with the gun, and that's the problem. But we'll get your response to that, because I want to give you the opportunity to respond right after this break. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're talking to Dr. Babuna about the idea of peace in the Middle East, and there's so many things that are pursuable, yet so many things that, you know, reality just kind of smacks us up against the head with once in a while. And one of them was referred to before the break, Doctor, and I want to get your response to it, and that's this idea that you need to stop the bleeding before you can heal the wound, and as a doctor, that has to make sense. And right now, if Turkey's not helping arm those Kurdish brothers and sisters on the other side of that border who are trying to keep ISIS from killing you, then you're not stopping the bleeding. You're just trying to put a Band-Aid on the wound by taking the refugees. So isn't there a responsible balance from people in the region? I'm not saying the U.S. or U.K. I'm talking about the people who would actually get an ISIS bullet to the head if they don't stop the bleeding first.
Well, let me first clarify one thing, actually. You said to arm the Kurdish brothers and sisters, but this is not the issue. There are only non-civilians who are fighting against ISIS in the Kobani, and these people are PYG, and they are part of the PKK terrorist organization. They are not regular Kurdish brothers and sisters. We took all the civilians, our Kurdish brothers and sisters from the Kobani, 200,000 people, refugee to Turkey. They are in Turkey right now, all our brothers and sisters, and they are safe. But these people are...
Hold on. So just so I can get your position clear, there are no innocent people left in Kobani. Those are all enemies of Turkey?
Yeah, all the news from the intelligence of the Turkey and other intelligence is coming from the area is there are only non-civilians, maybe very few civilians with them. They use this as covered for against ISIS, but otherwise there are only terrorists left in the Kobani. So this is a different issue. PYG is part of the PKK, and PKK has killed more than 40,000 people in Turkey. But I'm still not on the side of, I'm not defending bombardment of the PKK either. Remember I told you, solve the problem of the PKK, which killed 40,000 people in Turkey, is also ideological struggle. Anti-communist, anti-Darwinist, anti-materialist, we are doing that with our TV station, with the 1,000 websites of Mr. Adnan Oktar, 300 books in 75 languages and conferences all around the world. So it is not a solution to bomb PKK either. PKK is a terrorist organization of the communist mentality, communist guerrilla warfare, what they do. And on the other side, there is bigotry of ISIS, and also a terrorist organization. What they do is also cruelty. But to stop the war between them or to eradicate these mentalities completely is ideological. Bombardment is not a solution. Imagine you are a jet pilot and you drop a bomb. How do you discriminate between innocent people or people who have criminals, for example, terrorists? Is there any way to discriminate? You can't. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You can't. So you kill innocent people. So bombardment is not a solution. It's. I'm sorry to say that, but it's just a murder.
No. Wait. Just so you know, I didn't suggest bombardment because bombardment's not the solution. Allowing the terrorist organization to literally come to your door and start shooting you is not the solution either while handing out pamphlets. Because as you said, you know, hundreds of thousands of people reached, hundreds of conferences held, and you're losing ground at the moment. So there comes a point where you have to say, hey, you know what? When the bad guy literally shows up at my door and starts shooting me, I think I'm going to shoot him. And then once I kill him and I can get out my door, then I'm going to work on the ideological struggle. And I think part of the problem is there's such a backlash against the terrible way the West has handled the military side of this, and I completely agree it's terrible. But there's such a backlash to that that now there's this equally stupid pendulum swing to the other side that, you know, is basically saying, let's all get together, sing kumbaya, and give peace a chance sort of thing. And that's not reality either. And we have to deal with the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is that right outside the Turkish border there are an estimated 140,000 ISIS members now with huge bank pockets, with huge weapons. Matter of fact, they just got 80 U.S.-made anti-tank weapons last night. And if you don't kill them, they will kill you. So where's the responsible, response to that? The responsible response from Turkey to say, hey, you know what, we got to kill these people.
Well, that's a wrong mentality. And because every time United States is using force, or any other country, Western countries, militants are joining ISIS, and more of about 1,000 people, for example, each time from the Western countries. Why? Because using military force generates more enmity and hatred against United States, and United States gets more lonely and lonely. And because of this enmity and hatred against the United States, it is much easier for them to get more militants to join them. So instead of that, why stop this war?
Let's get back to the relevant conversation, because that one was completely irrelevant. My position is let's get the United States out of it. All right. Now that the United States is out of it, let's deal with that situation where, yes, you have militants. You're always going to have militants. They've always existed from day two of the creation of the world. So since that's always going to happen, what do you do with the militants now in this perfect situation where the West is out of the equation and they still want you dead?
Let me ask you this.
Hold on. Let's change this for a second. Yes. Let's say somebody comes to your office and they want to shoot you. What response do you give?
No, there is. Let me give the answer from the Quran, actually, because since I'm a Muslim, I will explain this from the Islamic perspective. There is a war situation according to the Quran, but only for defensive purposes. You're right. I mean, if you are being attacked and your life is endangered, then you have the right. The right is given you to react. And I'm going to read you a verse from the Quran. It says that I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Permission to fight is given to those who are fought against because they have been wronged. Truly, Allah has the power to come to their support. Allah says permission to fight is given to those who are fought against. You're right. I mean, if you are being attacked, and then you have to, of course, given the responsibility or the permission to fight against. But God says, do not go beyond the limits, which means you cannot bomb the cities, you cannot do massacres and kill innocent civilians, innocent people. And it's only military to military, only if you are being attacked. But I'm talking about a fundamental solution to all these problems. Why not to stop the war, which is good for everybody? And there is a solution to that, and which doesn't come into the mind of the people. Obama talked about an ideological struggle, but Obama has to also make a statement how does need to be done. What is the way to do this ideological struggle? Because ideological struggle is a broad term. How are you going to do it? But we know how to do it. I explain to you, they have the false beliefs. Only way to stop these people to join ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Boko Haram or Al-Shabaab. There are more than 40 different terrorist organizations in the Islamic countries. ISIS is only one of them. To solve this problem is to treat these people's wrong ideas with the true ideas from the Quran. That's what I'm talking about.
And that's what I'm talking about, and I'm hoping that you grasp. Because we have this situation, as you pointed out, that if you're being attacked, you need to defend yourself. And again, the conversation reverted back to, well, look what Obama did, and look, you know, what the West did, and completely irrelevant. Because at this point, you're being attacked. So now we have to make this decision of, okay, well, since we're being attacked and we're supposed to defend ourselves, there's two fights that you're fighting. You're fighting one against the people who are trying to kill you today, and then you're also fighting one against the idea of stopping other people from joining these organizations. And if you fight one without the other, you will lose. So you have to make this decision to fight both of them with purpose. That way you stop the spread of the fire, and at the same time, the fire that exists, you put that out too. It's kind of like medical care. You remove the tumor, at the same time you use preventative medicine to keep it from growing or remastasizing.
Well, if you have metastases, to remove one of the tumors is not enough, as you know. So you have to give chemotherapy and radiation therapy and to dry up the swamp completely. So this is the way how to medically treat it. Your treatment is not a rational treatment. The treatment has to be fundamental. So fundamental treatment is not what we are doing right now. I'm not talking about only United States. Don't misunderstand. Americans are beautiful people. Americans are very happy, nice, highly educated. I know, I lived in the United States for more than 10 years. I know Americans very well. And many of the Americans are against war, actually. And this war, economically disturbing United States also, and which is very sad, American soldiers are killing themselves. Why? I mean, imagine...
The hour, but you are revealing to me in more levels than one that we have a lot of work cut out for us. I wish you the best, sir. We'll be back right after this. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciated that.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's always a great program with you, and I hope good days will come, and these wars will stop, and United States will be very happy, more richer, Turkey, Middle East, and there will be peace and calmness all over the world, because 20th century was terrible. More than 300 million people were killed. World War I, World War II, and then all these days. And then now, at the beginning of the 21st century, then we have this all this radicalism and extremism spreading worldwide, and terrorism and economic crisis. And hope good ways will come very soon. And this is we have the same goal. We don't. I don't think we have anything any difference in our ideas, because we have the same goal. We want peace to come soon, and we know how to handle this, and United States also is a very superpower in the world, and with the alliance of Turkey, US, Europe, and also Turkey's leadership for the Muslim countries, which is more democracy and laicism, and this will lead toward peace, justice, and security.
Perfect. Absolutely. We're on the same side. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Yeah, we love and respect you very much, and I say I send my best regards and greetings from Mr. Adnan Oktar to all American audience.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.